Today is the third Sunday after the Epiphany. The scripture lessons are from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, 5 and 6, 8 through 10, Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. Today's message is titled, Holy is this word. Hear from Nehemiah chapter 8. All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them, and as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted up their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the word of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. And send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Here ends the reading from Nehemiah, Psalm 19, beginning at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Here ends the reading from Psalm, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter beginning at the 16th verse. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read the scroll the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman, the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The public reading of scriptures, the reading aloud, out loud of God's word, has been happening for eons. From the moment Moses first came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets in his hands, the commands of the Lord God have been spoken aloud to the people. It's written in Exodus chapter 34, beginning at verse 31. "But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face." Towards the end of Moses' life, as Joshua was to succeed Moses, Moses again read the law to all of Israel. It's written in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 9. "So Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel." Now jumping to Deuteronomy 31, beginning now at verse 11. "When all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the aliens living in your towns, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess." Yet through the years, Israel forgot the fear of the Lord, and they fell away many times. And then the Lord heard their prayers, and deliverers were sent their way many times too. Eventually, Jerusalem was sacked by Babylon, and the temple was destroyed. Cyrus the Persian then conquered Babylon, And the Lord used Cyrus to return the Jewish people to Jerusalem. Zerubbabel led the first group back and began the rebuilding of the temple. But the new temple, the second temple, was so much smaller than the first temple. Those who remembered wept as the foundation was laid out. It's so small. Those who remembered the first temple wept. Eventually, the delays and delays and delays, the second temple was built. But the walls of Jerusalem remained in tatters. They were in shambles. Nehemiah prayed and prayed and eventually was sent to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. By God's grace, the walls were rebuilt in 52 days. A tremendous feat indeed. During this same time, under Ezra, the priest, the scribe, worship was restored and reforms were established. And that is what's happening, we hear in Nehemiah chapter 8 this morning. A part of that worship, reforms and happenings, all the people were assembled. All the people came to hear as Ezra the scribe brings out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. They are gathered together as one people. From daybreak till noon, Ezra read the scriptures aloud. High on a wooden platform above all the people, the law was read aloud. Do you remember the old style of pulpits of ages past? The pulpits in the grand cathedrals or the pulpits in those New England churches that rise high above the people so all could see, so all could hear. But also there is the imagery of the pulpit being up on high. The word pulpit is from the Latin, which means platform. The raised pulpit of times past literally put the people under the word of the Lord. It literally put the people under the teaching of the word of God. As those pulpits were set on high, people understood the word of God is from on high. This age-old image of the platform of Ezra high above the people, that image has been lost. As the pulpits became lower and lower, along with the sacredness of Holy Scriptures, that has become lowered and lowered in people's lives. The word that we are to sit under, the word that we are to live under, it seems as the pulpits become lower, lower becomes the esteem of God's most holy word. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 3, he read it. It allowed from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men and women and others who could understand, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Jumping down to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so the people could understand what was being read. The word of God being read aloud. The word of God being explained aloud so the people could understand. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They worshiped the Lord, bowing down to the ground. The people understood how special, how precious, how wonderful this word of God truly is. These words are the very word of the living God, not mere thoughts of mortal man. These words are the words of the living God. These are the thoughts, these are the directions, these are the commands of the Lord God of heaven and earth, worthy of learning, worthy of worship, worthy of obeying. Years pass. Years later, and now in a public setting, in a synagogue, Jesus, the Son of God, enters in, as was his custom. On the Sabbath day, you would find Jesus in the synagogue in worship. This particular day, Jesus is back home, back to his hometown and in the synagogue that he grew up in, from a little lad into a man. He grew up in hearing the word of God. This day, the scroll of Isaiah is handed to Jesus, unrolling and searching for the particular passage Jesus prepares to read aloud. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." From Isaiah, as we know it, chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. These two verses are known to be messianic verses. It means they're known to be verses describing who the Messiah is, what his characters are, who he will be known for and known as. These are messianic verses. Jesus intentionally searches for these words. That is the meaning of the Greek here. The Greek word, he found the place where it was written. The word found. He found the place where his word written. That phrase, the word found, is found after searching. That's what the Greek word means. After searching, it is found. So Jesus is searching to find this one place in Isaiah to read specifically of these messianic words. This is no happenstance. This is the intentional unfolding of the Lord God's great grace for us as Jesus turns to these messianic words, a passage known to be about the Messiah to come and what the Messiah's rule will look like and will be known for. So Jesus intentionally unrolls the scroll to this place. Intentionally. It's not a happenstance. It is for us to know. Jesus finishes reading out loud. He rolls the scroll back up and hands the scroll to the attendant to put away for safekeeping. These scrolls are incredibly precious, more precious than you and I can really understand. They are meticulously crafted, precisely copied from other scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls show how accurate the copying was from one scroll to the other. It was so accurate and so meticulously done because those scribes understood this is God's holy word. The scribe would be precise in his penmanship and would not change anything, not a jot, not a tittle, not an iota. He would write exactly what was there as the scrolls were meticulously and precisely copied. Precious treasures. Jesus reads from a passage. The passage was written 700 years earlier. 700 years earlier, written for this very morning in the synagogue in Nazareth for Jesus to unroll and search for and find and read to the people. This moment, those words are written for that moment. And we know this, for Jesus sat down and began to teach. All eyes fixed on him. And he begins by saying, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Can you grasp the profound meaning of what that truly is? Today, this scripture, written 700 years earlier, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus plainly declaring he is the Messiah. The scripture tells you what will be found in the Messiah. And those very things are what we find in Jesus. The Son of God. Think on this. The Son of God reading out loud scripture written 700 years earlier so that the people would recognize who he is. The Messiah. The Christ. Written to show, to reveal, to make known Jesus is the Messiah. And as he reads those words in those very presence of the people in the synagogue, those words written 700 years earlier are now brought to completion. The Messiah is there in their very presence. Can you comprehend that moment? The Messiah is here. The Lord commanded Moses to read the words out loud to Israel. Ezra called the whole of the people of Israel together, the people of Judah together, to hear the word of God read aloud after the Babylonian captivity. This shows us these words recorded in the Holy Scripture must be of an order unlike any other written word on earth. They stand alone. They must stand alone as unique, as holy, as life-giving. These words written in the Holy Scripture are the very Word of God. They must be for the way they are treated by Moses, by Ezra, by Jesus, the Son of God in the synagogue. These words written in the Holy Scripture are the very Word of God. As such, these words are worthy above all things to be read aloud for all to hear. Turning our attention to Psalm 19, to hear what the Holy Scripture says about the Holy Word of God. Psalm 19, beginning at verse 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Did you hear the different ways the word of the Lord was described? Perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant, pure, sure, and righteous. These holy words were written for us, and all their goodness and all their righteousness are perfect, as the Lord God Almighty is perfect, righteous, and good. In this holy word, we see ourselves as we are, sinners, as the people in Jerusalem saw themselves years ago, as it's written in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who instructed the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not weep or mourn." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Why were they weeping? They were weeping as the words of the law were read aloud. They heard their sins, and they were weeping for their sins before the Lord their God. The word of the Lord brought their sins before their eyes, and they were weeping for their sins. Yet this day was a holy assembly. So Nehemiah, Ezra, and the others reminded them, this is a day to rejoice and celebrate to the Lord. In this word of the Lord, we find grace. In this word of the Lord, we find mercy. In this word of the Lord, we find God. God revealed to us. God, who is full of compassion, revealed to us. Through the unfolding history of the people Israel, God's holy people, God's nature and character is revealed to us. And the experiences of Israel reveal to us the Lord God. And we learn of the Lord's nature. We learn of the Lord's character. We learn the Lord is the Lord, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy, abounding in compassion. The Lord is compassionate. Flowing from these, we learn of our sin, and we also learn how to recognize and find the Messiah, the Christ. In these words, we learn of the great redeeming grace in Jesus Christ, who paid the redeeming price for us all. In these holy words, we learn of His death on the cross and Jesus rising on the third day. In these holy words, we learn the meaning of Jesus' death on the cross and how His death brought us the grace for our sins to be forgiven. It is these words that help us see and recognize Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. By hearing these words read out loud, faith is born in us. These words written in Genesis all the way through Revelation are of a different order than all other written words on earth. A different order. These words are the very word of God. Holy as the Lord is holy. Holy is this word. So I ask you, without these words of Scripture, would you know of grace? Without these words of Scripture, would you know of forgiveness? Without these words of Scriptures, how would you come to believe? Without these words of Scriptures, would the name Jesus mean anything to you? Holy is the Word. Holy are these Scriptures. Holy is the Word of the Lord God Almighty. In the Holy Bible, this word will forever change your life in the here and now and stretching on into the forevermore. This word is the very word of God. Hear and believe and have life in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.